more from Alan Ellis.
This
and the Outdoorsman
Radio Show,
WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Okay, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And we would hope to get your phone calls here at 410 WCBM 680. We talked about a number of things first hour. And I got an email on this the other day, and I've heard about it. And, I just wanted to find out what your thoughts are on this. I'm digging through the rule book here, trying to find some different things, and came across the chronic wasting disease pages on page 24 and 25 of the rule book. Okay, and it talks about all the meat processors and all the taxidermists and CWD management and all that stuff. CWD is chronic wasting disease, and we've had several cases here in Maryland over the past few years. First detected in November 2010 here, so it's 7 years, from a hunter in Allegheny County. They believe it might have come across the river from Hampshire County, West Virginia in 2005. 17 infected deer have been detected in Allegheny County. Chronic wasting disease is the cervine, the deer family, as opposed to bovine, the cattle family, version of mad cow disease. In sheep, I believe it's called scrapie, if I'm saying that right. But, you know, hooved animals tend to get this disease, and it's caused by what's called a prion in the brain, and you can read all about that. But there's no way to kill a prion. So what they've done in this CWD management area in Maryland, with the map and the whole deal in the rule book, in Allegheny and Washington County, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 county codes involved in this in those two counties. And they put out this entire information sheet. You're not allowed to, you know, move the carcasses. They don't want you to take the carcasses out of the area and all that stuff. Take them to the local deer processor out there. And it deals with brain tissue. It deals with spinal column fluid and that type of thing. And now there's a report out there. This is out of the journal Sentinel, which is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And it says this: amid renewed concern about whether chronic wasting disease can jump from deer to people, a fatal human brain condition in the same family is showing up more often in Wisconsin and nationally. It's happening as state testing for the deer disease is down, and hunters routinely opt not to test deer killed in affected zones. In 2002, the year CWD was discovered in Wisconsin, 6 cases of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD, were recorded. That's the human form of mad cow disease, according to the State Department of Health Services. In 2 of the last 4 years, 13 cases have been recorded. Okay? Now, the entire population of Wisconsin, 6 cases in 2002. In 2 of the last 4 years, 13 cases and 13 cases. Of course, they like to say that's 117% increase. We'll get more into this in a minute. Let's talk to Stan. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Allen. I'm going to try to dodge this cement tagger here.
Okay.
I'm on my way to Frederick.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of people complaining about the streaming. They couldn't get the signal. I've been waiting about 27, 30 years for either somebody to twist that antenna around, because it seems like the Eastern Shore gets a great signal.
They do.
I go to Frederick, and I can't hear you.
Yeah, I know. We lose it out there on the Frederick County line for sure.
Well,
no question about it.
Maybe if you ever go FM, we got it. Got it made. I was worried about Fran as I'm sitting here watching the miles go by, and I got some miles to go today.
Got it.
All this stuff that is donated to Miss Fran.
Yeah, there's only been one thing actually, and that's okay. That's the crossbow. That's it.
The thing that worries me. Will she have to return it?
No.
Because she said something about if she likes the trip, she's going to stay out there. And
somebody's crossbow, huh?
I'm one person that does not want to see Miss Brand stay out there.
No, you and I both. She's quite an asset, that's for sure.
Well, and she's on all morning when she gets a chance to call.
Uh-huh.
I like her as a person over the radio, and I like her politics.
You're right. You're right.
She's a good person. So whatever she's got to borrow that they're saving for, please make sure it comes with a return.
Return to Maryland. Contingency.
Exactly. Including her.
Uh-huh. All right.
I got my hands full, Mr. Allen. I'm going to take this 80,000 pounds of heavy metal and high octane out to Frederick.
Hey, keep the shiny side up there, Stan.
All right, when I get past Route 32, start talking louder, okay?
Yeah, I'll do my best. Thanks. Let me know when that is. See ya.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. There he goes, our buddy Stan. Been a long time listener, truck driving friend, listens in the truck. Maybe that's what everybody needs to do. If you can't get to streaming, go out and get in your local 18-wheeler and head down the highway. You know, make a little money while you're on your way. What do you think? Yeah, I don't know. You could always get in your car and go. But, you know, I personally, if I'm listening to me, well, if I'm hunting, I'm not listening to me. But if I am listening to me somewhere, I just want to chill out. I want to lay in bed. I want to listen, you know, maybe have my coffee there, maybe have a little, you know, bowl of cereal with bananas or something. Who knows? But I'm certainly not going to jump out in my T-shirt and pajamas and go out and sit in the car and drive around and listen to me. I mean, I wouldn't do it. I don't know anybody. Why would you? So I'm sorry about the streaming. It's just, you know, it's annoying on this end. You have no idea. Fortunately, the podcast is available. I just checked it on the WCBM website. Back to the first Saturday in May. It's back that far. And on my website, ellisoutdoors.com, it should be up to date by now. By the way, Bulldog, our web guy that keeps up the podcast stuff on the website, has moved. He's got a new job as, I think, a news director down at a radio station in Florida. So he picked up the family from New Hampshire and strove down to Florida. And I'll tell you what, I think he's pretty happy right now. So, Bulldog, if you're listening, congratulations on the new gig. And we wish you the best. We wish you the best, buddy. Bulldog Brian Tilton produced this show here. Went on the other talk station here in Baltimore and produced the Ron Smith Show for years, and now he's in Florida, so it's all good. Let's talk to Lee in Towson. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Morning, Alan. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
I always like to call you up when I have something of controversy, and
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
Well, I don't know if it's controversy, but I was down at the Bay Bridge fishing the other day, catching a striped bass around the pilings.
Right.
And over on the eastern shore side, it was kind of disheartening. I saw literally hundreds, if not thousands, of dead, undersized striped bass. And a lot of my friends that chum up around the mouth of the Chester, the Swan Point area, Love Point, they're you know, chumming for striped bass, but 99% of the fishermen, Alan, are not versed on using circle hooks. And unfortunately, with our 20-inch size limit right now, a lot of the fish are under, and they're getting gut hooked, and they're, you know, literally with a J-hook, they're using J-hooks. And I've seen so many dead striped bass this year, and I've seen them in past years, but this year in particular, and talking to other fishermen and whatnot, say, yeah, it's a problem. But
we're not going to fix it. It's a problem, but we're not going to fix it.
We need to fix it.
Well, look.
We need to fix it, and I'm gonna pursue it with, I got a contact down at Annapolis, And I'm going to hopefully bring it up in front of the advisor committee to either why they up the size limit to 20 inches for wreck, and why is it not 18 inches? Because most of the fish I saw were in that 18 to 20-inch category, you know, three-year-old fish. And it doesn't, you know, so they either need to look at the size limit and or, you know, I'm really an advocate for mandatory circle hooks.
Okay, let me ask you, Lee, did you go over it when you were fishing? Did you go over and take a video of all the dead fish?
No, I didn't.
Did you go over and take any pictures with your camera?
I took a few, but, you know, it's hard to get when you take a picture of one or two dead fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a partner knows about it because a friend of mine was checked by NRP the other day, and they know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it seems like by the time it gets to any
let me ask you a question: Are there any special notes on your fishing license when you print it out about using circle hooks?
Nah, there really isn't. No.
What's in the fishing regulation book about using circle hook?
Well, circle hooks are mandatory during the catch and release in the in the catch and release zones, but
right.
there's no, you know, being a the circle hooks, the use of them is a little difficult, and most of the charter boat fleet doesn't want to use them, and most.
Because a lot of the charter boat fleet are also commercial hook and line fishermen.
Correct. And so am I.
Right.
But I hate to see unused or dead, this many dead fish when it could be corrected.
But I'm asking this question. Are you blaming it all on the recreational anglers?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay,
I'm not pointing fingers at any one, whether it rec or commercial, but something that, it's more, Alan, it's more of an awareness that if you're releasing fish that are gut hooked, what do I need to do to change it? And a circle hook is the answer. And
right.
I'm just trying to put the word out there, and I'm hoping.
What do the commercial hook and line guys use?
I'll be honest with you, it's a J-hooks.
Okay, yeah, so what's
a commercial can keep 18-inch fish.
Understood. Understood.
Right.
Okay, understood. But, everybody's in this thing together. We're talking about sustainability of the striped bass in the Chesapeake Bay, correct?
Absolutely.
Are they overfished yet, commercially or recreationally? In your opinion, are they overfished?
Our stock assessment is huge. We've got a really strong stock of fish. You know.
I agree with you.
Youngest,
I agree with you.
Right. We got an awesome fishery.
Right.
I hate to see waste within that fishery.
Right.
No matter what kind of fish it is.
I agree.
One other thing I'll throw at you, Alan, I got to see porpoises the other day south of the Bay Bridge, and that was what a beautiful sight to see that at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those are visitors to the bay that we don't see very often, you know.
First time for me to see that. But
right.
I just wanted to put it out there. And
Well, you say it's more than awareness. What do you mean by more than awareness? I mean, you're saying that the recreational wait, Lee, hold on a minute. You're saying that the recreational anglers, should learn how to use circle hooks. We've been talking about circle hooks for 20 years, correct?
Right.
Correct. So if the rec anglers aren't using circle hooks, okay, then what do we have to do to get them to use circle hooks?
Well, Alan, as you know, with a lot of regs, you would probably have to make it mandatory.
Okay.
It has to be safe.
Exactly. Exactly. And all that. Okay.
Yes, if it's made mandatory, and the only way, yes, I know the only way to do that is I have to to pursue it with the Fisheries Advisory Committee. But
let me ask you a question about the Fisheries Advisory Committee and the Tidal Fish Advisory Committee. Okay? They are advisors. The role of the Fisheries Advisory Committee and the Tidal Fish Advisory Committee is this. Go to a meeting, get the proposals, discuss it, take it back to your members that you represent, and then bring their results back to the table after you survey your members. Do you believe that the Tidal Fish Advisory Board and the Sport Fish Advisory Board do that? Do you think that whoever's on that board goes to the organizations that they represent, their membership, puts those ideas out there, brings back the results of the survey to the table, and then there's action taken?
Depending on the users, and I know some of the members of the committee, regardless of a lot of regs that are bought up, you know, if they're adamantly against it, it's hard to persuade the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with the circle hooks, it's always been a controversy, and it'll probably not ever be mandatory where it should be. But unfortunately, the charter, you know, a lot of the charter boat, recreational, commercial, whatever's the easiest way to get the fish in the boat, unfortunately, is the type of hook that they're going to use.
Yeah.
I wish we saw more of a love for catch and release and or striped bass that we see for like a largemouth bass or a smallmouth bass.
Yeah, I get it. Well, it's again, we don't sell largemouth and smallmouth bass, do we?
You got it, Alan. That's the unspoken truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a money fish.
Well, now, I mean, let's put it this way. Legally, we don't sell largemouth and smallmouth bass. Wasn't there a case made a couple of years ago with some high-ranking watermen that were collecting fish from the Potomac and keeping them in ponds and then selling them out of state? And weren't they fined in violation of the Lacey Act? And don't they have a position of authority right now?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, I think you need to take a look at that. Yeah. I really do. Yep.
If you want to
send me an email, I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right.
I just wanted to put out there about the circle hooks and, you know, I'm curious to see how other fishermen and fisherwomen feel about that. And I'm not a chummer, and I have done it with a captain one time where I told him, listen, I'm tired of gut hooking these fish to get circle hooks. And he looked at me with astonishment. He goes, why do you want to use circle hooks? I said, dude, I'm tired of killing fish. Let's do the circle hooks. And they work. Alan, they work really
well. Sure they
well.
Work. And you don't. And there's no work to it. You just reel them in. So, really?
That's the word.
All right.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it. But hey, by the way, Lee.
Yeah, Alan.
I think every member of the Sport Fish Advisory Committee and the Tidal Fish Advisory Committee, I think every member is up this year. Every appointment is over and done. So we're going to have a whole new Fisheries Advisory Committee.
All right. Well, why don't you and I hop in there?
I'd be for you. Thanks. All right. Thanks, Lee.
See you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we got Dale and Denton, Odell and Anne Arundel, but we got to take a break. So let me tell you about Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. That's right. Get your corn. Here's a simple message. I'll make it real simple. Get your corn, your tomatoes, and your watermelons at Papa John's Farm. Summer's time for picnics and family get-togethers, reunions, and so forth. Camping trips, you know, going on vacation. Summer's corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes and cold, juicy watermelons. Well, you need some stuff to go with your crabs. You need some stuff to go with your picnic. And corn on the cob, man, many memories of the 4th of July and Labor Day with the family runs in my mind. Grandpa lighting the sparklers with his old railroad flares and, you know, the uncles out shooting the groundhogs. And, it was great. Anyway, the Schillinger family, Papa John's Farm, invites you to come and visit them and get your corn and, you know, just have good tasting food for once. Head to Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super sweet corn, homegrown tomatoes, they're ready to go. Their squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, green beans, cucumbers, peaches, plums, you name it. Mouthwatering cantaloupes and those sweet, wonderful watermelons. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at Exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn for your GPS. 410-969-8810. Papa John's is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number, 410-969-8810. If you're having a reunion, a church gathering, some kind of feed for a bunch of people, get your corn at Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Don't forget about Clyde Sports Shop. That's for sure. If you're going fishing, if you're going crabbing, if you're going hunting, if you need any kind of repairs done to your outdoor equipment, Clyde Sports Shop can handle it for you. That's right. If you break the tip off your rod, happen to slam it in the car door, maybe one of the kids does, like I did a couple times when I was a kid, take it into Clyde Sports Shop. They'll put a new tip on that fishing rod for you. They'll rewind a guide. They'll put new line on your reel. If you get a new scope, make sure you get one from Clyde Sports Shop. Maybe the old eyes aren't as good as they used to be, and you need an update to a nice Leupold scope or something like that. You want them to mount it for you, bore sight it for you. When you take it out to the range, you start at 25 yards, it's on the paper. Never failed with any of the scopes I've ever had mounted at Clyde Sports Shop. They have the full line of Browning firearms for shooting sports, for hunting, for home protection. You go check that out, too. And for crabbers, everything. Everything. Traps, trot lines, bait, you name it. Clyde Sports Shop. Been around 60 years at the same location, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit, number 9, 410-242-6108. 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-3474, 247-FISH. Clyde Sports Shop. Go see them.
High pressure builds in for the weekend. A couple of nice days for us. It'll be a little cooler and less humid. Scattered showers and storms tapering to an end here overnight as we drop to the low 70s. Mix of clouds and sun for us on Saturday. Light northwest winds, highs in the upper 80s to near 90 degrees. Clear Saturday night, we'll drop to the upper 60s. Lots of sunshine Sunday, highs again upper 80s. Scattered thunderstorms in the forecast again Monday and Tuesday, highs to the 90s. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, Get to the battery warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Last night I heard this politician talking about a brand new mission. Liked this plan, but it came undone when it got around to goddamn guns. Well, I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. All right, let's talk to Dale in Easton, and then we'll go to Odell in Anne Arundel County. Good morning, Dale. How are you, brother?
Good morning. Good morning, Alan. How's the patient?
Patient's coming along. She's okay. Got another 8 weeks of therapy. And
she have her torture session this week?
Oh, always. Yeah. Yeah. She got a little cortisone shot, and
Alan, the previous caller was talking about size limits, and briefly, the way that works is the department, you know, they go before ASMFC with a stock assessment.
Right.
And, at least when I was there, Alan, the big thing for the department was to maximize opportunity, get as long a season as possible, give the people as much chance to go catch fish as possible. In order to do that, you have to restrict other things, size limits, creel limits being one thing, so you can add it to one end, but you got to take it off from the other.
Right.
Although I was a little surprised because we've got three real strong year classes coming into the fishery, and I was a little surprised that they didn't drop it to 18 inches.
Right.
But evidently the numbers weren't quite strong enough, and I've said this before, Alan, if you want to see some interesting activity, go to one of those ASMFC Striped Bass Committee meetings.
Oh, my, you're not kidding.
It is, all those management boards are contentious, but striped bass is the king of the hill.
Right.
It's like one of those video games. So, and we don't have many allies north of us.
Right,
so we have to sort of play the game. It's a political thing, too, but again, the department has always wanted to keep the season as long as possible.
Of course.
So in order to do that, they've got to cut, or they can't increase other things like drop the size limit or increase the creel limit.
So right.
That's just the way the game is played.
Yep. Well, you know, there's always going to be this headbutting between commercial and recreational. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Of course.
You know, and the difference in size limit is
always contentious.
Deemed by some to be, you know, unfair. Which,
right.
You know, there a guy can go out on a commercial boat and load up on his weight limit, his creel limit, his whatever you want to call it, quota, mm-hmm. his quota on fish that you and I can't keep.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's always going to be some contention there.
Yeah.
And, where is the solution? What is the solution? Where's the compromise? Should everybody be 19 inches, or what's the deal? You know?
All that is they attempt to put all that into what the stock assessment does. And
right.
you have to consider socioeconomic factors also.
Right.
So it's not just science involved. It's other factors. Like I say, it's a very complicated situation, particularly with striped bass.
Right.
It makes making sausage look like a walk in the park.
That's the what's analogy that's drawn, watching legislation or watching regulations being made is like watching sausage being made.
There you go.
All right, buddy.
Alan, thanks
for weighing in, Dale. Thanks. Appreciate it. Odell, still with me there in Anne Arundel County? What's going on?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
A guy was talking about, you know, people were crabbing behind his house and stealing his pots.
Yes.
I got a little story. It's about 30 years old when I was a younger man.
Stealing the crabs out of the pots. They're not stealing the pot.
Well, we used to lease property down east in Cambridge, Taylor's Island, go hunting. And the gentleman down there, he used to let us camp on his ground. We, you know, give him a little money. So I got to know him pretty good. Took me on crab and everything. And these guys would crab out behind his pier, and he said, man, don't crab there, right? This is all my livelihood. That's all I got. And he started cussing at him, throwing beer bottles. So Mr. Cecil, he says, watch this here, son. I'm going to show you something. He was a diver for the Navy, so he rigged up a little explosion thing, threw it out in the water, and all you seen was trout, line, and anchors just flying down the creek there.
What do you do, throw a bomb at him?
No, he just let something, threw it in the water, watched it explode up like, you know, like a couple of cherry bombs. He figured it up so it wouldn't get wet, and he just blew it up, and they just took off like a bat out of, you know what. They would cuss at me.
Well, guess what? Guess what? He solved the problem, didn't he?
Yeah, he was, that was 30 years ago. He was 80-some years old then.
Hmm.
But he was just a hell of a nice man. He'd do anything for anybody, but you don't want to cross him.
Well, it sounds like he had it down pat. So
yep, you know, we took kids out on his boat, show him how to crab, use the trout line, and everything. Get your legs balanced when you got a dip for him and everything.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, but it was a heck of a nice man, though.
Sounds good, Odell. Well,
yep.
I appreciate the call and appreciate the story.
All right, thank you.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. Bye bye. 410. WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We got, we'd love to have your calls, but I was talking about CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is the human version of mad cow, and it's linked to CWD, perhaps. I don't know that anybody's made a direct link, okay? But Wisconsin, of course, is a big deer hunting state. And if, you know, they're ignoring the warnings there and partaking of these deer that may or may not be CWD positive, you know, you're pretty much taking your life in your own hands. Mad cow disease in humans, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, is always fatal. You live less than a year once you contract it. And it says nationally there's been an increase in cases of CJD. In 2002, there were 260 cases, and in 2015, 13 years later, there were 481. And then that's from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So, it's closely related to the form of mad cow disease that infected people primarily in Great Britain in the late 90s and early 2000s after they ate beef from infected cows. Indeed, human mad cow disease is known as variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Both diseases attack the brain, and death usually occurs within a year. The increase in Wisconsin comes as chronic wasting disease, which, like CJ, is caused by infectious agents known as prions, and it continues to spread among deer. Like its human counterpart, CWD also attacks the brain and is always fatal. In Wisconsin, it appears initially to be confined to the core area, the western Dane County, and eastern Iowa County. Today, there are 18 counties where CWD has been found in the wild deer population, according to state figures. Nationally, CWD is known to exist in at least 21 states, including Maryland, including West Virginia. So, is that something to worry about? No, it is not. No, it is not. CWD, CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, was originally discovered, if you trace it all the way back, to people who practiced cannibalism and ate the brains of their opponents. I believe it was in Borneo, if I recall. But where this disease affects cattle, where it affects deer, and so forth, just be careful. That's all. If you're overly concerned about it, read the information in the hunting guide. Don't hunt there. Or, if you do, take your necessary precautions and you'll be fine. That's all. That is in the news. Hunting season's about to start. It's not the best thing, but I will give credit where credit is due to our DNR about putting this out there and doing something about it and actively letting people know that it's out there. You want to choose to ignore that information? Choose to ignore it. Fine with me. But you've been advised by this radio station, that's for sure. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And we'd love to hear from you at WCBM.com, 922-6680, 410-WCBM-680. I'm sorry, not WCBM.com, WCBM-680, 922-6680. A little distracted here for some reason. But anyway, thought you'd like to know. Any calls or any comments on anybody stealing crabs out of crab pots at the off the local piers? I mean, you know, there have been convictions made and fines levied, and I don't think there's been any jail time yet for people stealing crabs out of commercial crab pots out on the water, but it's pretty damn sneaky and pretty rotten to sneak into somebody's place at night and take crabs out of the pot on the pier. That's for sure. You know, somebody's just trying to get a few crabs for dinner. Maybe they got a live box, a float box or something like that, and go in and take those crabs out. That's just wrong. Just wrong. And if it's kids who are, you know, getting a couple dozen crabs and taking them down to the local, you know, bar or something and selling them for a few bucks, well, guess what? They're not enterprising young people. They're just common thieves. Calling it like I see it. Sorry. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. There are a couple things out there that I'm dying to tell you about that I can't. I just wish I could, but I can't. But I do want you to know that the Maryland Hunting Coalition is working behind the scenes on a couple of things as we speak. It's not like we just wait till the General Assembly comes in and then we do things with bills and we talk to politicians. No, 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 no. We are active year-round, involved in scientific wildlife management, involved in a number of things beneficial to the hunting community here in Maryland. Maryland Hunting Coalition is growing. Summertime, it's a little slow, so I'll put that out there. If you want to go and join, it's very simple. It's free. Just go to the website, mdhuntingcoalition.org, mdhuntingcoalition.org, and you can join. You see it says join for free. We just collect your email. That's all we want. We don't share your information. We don't sell your information. We keep it very close at hand. We send you a newsletter occasionally. I guess we're getting ready to send one out here shortly and bring everybody up to date what we're working on. But you don't get the newsletter unless you're a member. You don't understand what's going on. And guess what? We're not going to tell you everything, okay? We're not going to tell you everything. And here's why. There are certain things that we work on that are involved. There's a good word, involved. And we have to rely on political capital that's been accumulated. We have to rely on contacts. We have to rely on confidentiality, anonymity in some cases of some things. And we're not going to let all that out. Someday it'll be out there, okay? But we are working on a couple things right now that are good for the hunting community in general. And we are always, in contact with the powers that be. We're always in contact with the General Assembly year-round. We're always in contact with officials in the Department of Natural Resources and, you know, even the governor's office from time to time. So just be aware and be alert and know that the coalition is working every single day. Now, how can you help? There's a couple ways. You can join. That's free. Doesn't cost you anything. We have never sent a membership notification to anybody. We've always asked for voluntary contributions. right now it's a political giving season. We give to politicians on both sides of the aisle, depending on their position. It could be a committee chairman. It could be somebody who's on a committee. It could be somebody who we're hoping to become a sponsor of a bill or who supports what we do. It could be anything. But that political giving season is expensive. Because of our tax status, which is a 501c4, we are allowed to make political contributions. We are not allowed to back a candidate. We are not allowed to weigh in on political parties. And guess what? We don't. In Annapolis, you have the administrative branch, which is run by the governor, who happens to be a Republican. But both houses, both chambers in the General Assembly, the House and the Senate, are majority Democrat. So we've got to work with both parties across party lines to accomplish anything, to advance any issues good for hunters, to stop any issues that are bad for hunters. Okay, so therefore we have to make political contributions to each side. That's expensive. So to help us with that, we've got one right now. We've got an online fundraiser. It's a beautiful Browning BPS pump shotgun, 12 gauge. It's a Ducks Unlimited edition that we're purchasing, and it's engraved on both sides. It's got a beautiful gold magazine cap. It's gorgeous wood, and somebody's going to win that. Okay, so go online. The tickets are $50. We're only selling 100 tickets. Only selling 100 tickets. So that'll take care of the fund. That'll cover the cost of shotgun, and that'll take care of most of the political giving. And of course, you know, if you like what we're doing and you want to get behind us, email us. We're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for help for any issues. And as Fran said, you know, you got to stand up for yourself. Well, we hope you stand up for yourself. So that being said, time for me to tell you about Clyde Sport Shop. They're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Clyde's actually does support the Maryland Hunting Coalition. They have every year since when we have our fundraiser. They've been very kind and donated a firearm every year. So we appreciate that we're able to turn around and, you know, raffle off or whatever. So they're generous in that regard. Now, Clyde's has been around since 1957. That's 60 years. I was 3. Okay, that's the two brothers, Bill and Clyde, been around that long, same location, selling worms, and that's where they started, and now full-service sporting goods store. Fishing, hunting, crabbing, gun repair, rod and reel repair, new fishing line, all kinds of bait, live and frozen bait, crabbing supplies, trot lines, traps, nets, you name it, anything for crabbing, anything for fishing, anything for hunting, home protection, scopes, ammunition. You get the picture. Clyde Sports Shop. Great sponsor. We love them. I shop there. 410-242-6108 is their phone number. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road is their in Lansdowne is their address, just off Beltway Exit 9. Their 24-hour fishing hotline is 247-FISH, 247-3474. Stop in and see them. Clyde Sports Shop. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fish Bones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Line-X. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Line-X.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song than diamonds and gold. Long star bell buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. And if you don't understand him and he don't die young.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, a little Willie Nelson there for you, folks. I like to listen to Willie when I'm getting sleepy. You know, if I'm driving along and I start getting tired, I turn Willie on and I sing along. And I don't sing very good, but it keeps me awake. That's the main thing. So, for those of you who... You know, there's no way to get to the people in Florida and Massachusetts and North Carolina that listen to this show, unfortunately, unless it's via podcast. But for those of you who would, you know, like to listen to this show in its entirety, you can do so by going to WCBM.com and clicking on the podcast button, and it'll give you a drop-down menu, and it'll say Outdoorsman Show. Or you could go to Ellis Outdoors, which is my website, Ellis Outdoors. Click on the radio button. There's the coalition button. There's the quarterly button. There's the Maryland Loves Crabs button. And you can go to the radio show button, and then there's a podcast thing on there you can click on and also listen to the shows. So it's just a way you can listen. Anyway, if you want to contact me during the week, you can do so. We'd love to get some pictures from the past hunting season. We're working on the fall issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine this week and next, and that'll be going to, you know, going to print, and we'll be able to do something with that. But send us your pictures, your deer pictures, you know, your turkey pictures, whatever. I love to get bear pictures of any of our listeners who have taken a bear, you know, for the fall issue from last year, of course, Maryland bear. And we'll do our best to publish it for you. And that email address, if you want to send a picture or get a hold of me for any reason, is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. You can read the Daily Times in Salisbury to see the writer's opinion on the orange clothing now required for private landowners to wear during the deer season. It wasn't required before. You know, if you want to hunt on your own property, you weren't required to wear the fluorescent orange like the rest of us have to do, the blaze orange. Like I said, I'm still an advocate of wearing it because I've had some close calls. Two of them wearing fluorescent orange, believe it or not. I'll give you the two examples since we have a moment here. Years ago when I lived in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, snow on the ground, I saw a couple guys headed to the woods, same basically woods I was going in, but they were about 300-400 yards away. I'm in a full blaze orange jacket, full sleeves, not a vest, sleeves, jacket, hat, whole thing. From the waist up, I'm all blaze orange. In a wide open cut cornfield with snow on it, headed to the woods. I look over at the other guys from 300 yards away, and a guy is pointing his rifle at me, looking to see who I might be through his scope. Now, if he's got his scope on me, he's got his rifle barrel on me. If he's got his rifle barrel on me and is sighted in anywhere close, I'm going to get hurt if he pulls the trigger. I didn't like it. Second case, I was hunting in Huntington County with my dad. I lived here in Maryland. I was hunting with my dad, and I think Kathy and our kids were there and the whole deal. And my dad invited his landlord to hunt. And we put him on the point, and he climbed up in a tree. And this point was, a point of land, but there were woods on the point. So he's on the point overlooking a field. And on the other side is what we used to call the choppings, probably 100 and 150 yards away is the beginning of the choppings. Okay? So I walk by. I talk to the guy. He was having lunch. I talked to the guy. I'm standing under his tree talking to him. And I walked away. And I got about 40, 50 yards at the most away from the tree stand. And a shot rang out. And a deer died in front of me. I didn't see the deer come out of the choppings. My view was obstructed by the woods, but he was elevated. Deer came out, ran across the choppings towards me. He elected to shoot that deer. When he shot that deer, I had to be in his reticle, in his scope. That deer was that close. There was just no way that I wasn't in the guy's scope when he pulled the trigger on the deer. That deer was that close to me when he killed it. I was an unhappy camper. I was very unhappy. I was scared. I was angry. I let him know, let my dad know, and I said, don't ever bring him again. And he didn't. But because he saw, he almost killed his son. Blaze Orange.